You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Friday. We made it through the week. Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News. And over at 8.9 seconds and a bunch of other places. Today, it's a Celtics day. It's a big game tonight against the Boston Celtics. The Pacers control their own destiny for the 4 seed for now, but one loss causes that to slip up. And this game is one of those, one loss to the Celtics, causes that to slip up. And tonight is the first of the two games they have against that team. And we're about to see a lot of the Celtics, Pacers land. If it's a 7-game series, which I'm almost positive that the Pacers will play the Celtics in the first round, we could see them 9 times in the next month. So we better get familiar with the Celtics. To do that, Locked On crossover time, baby. We got Locked On Celtics host John Kolaris and I got together to make a crossover episode for you guys. So I'm just going to throw it right here. We're going to cut right over to the crossover stuff and get right to it. So stick around for a nice Pacers-Celtics chat. Get used to more of these with John Kolaris, Locked On Celtics.
All right, Celtics and Pacers, Friday night. This will be potentially the first of 9 times these two teams could face each other over the course of the next month. We are going to hate each other. And joining me now to discuss our future hatred for one another is Tony East, co-host of the Locked On Pacers podcast. And he covers the Indiana Pacers for the West Indianapolis Community News. Tony, what's going on, man?
John, I'm good. I'm riding the high of a Purdue basketball victory. Indiana basketball can only go down from here, which does not bode well for tonight's game.
All right, let's talk about this. So we've got we're at a point where it's only going to be who hosts, like who gets home court here.
Yep.
So let's talk about our confidence in our teams first of all. So. Okay.
I shouldn't laugh. That just gave it away.
Well, as I was saying before we recorded, I have already tentatively booked my hotel rooms for that first weekend where the playoffs start in Indy, assuming that we're going to start on the road because this is the fourth seed that nobody seems to want. And if the Celtics end up losing one of these games, then I believe the tiebreaker goes to you guys. So,
I have not seen the same thing.
Okay, what do you?
Wait, did you say if they lose both of these games? Am I zoning out too hard?
The winner if somebody wins both games, then that's the tiebreaker.
Yes,
that's the tiebreaker.
Correct.
But if you win one of these games, then I believe the tiebreaker goes to you. Like, if the team split, then it gets down to a point where
it's a conference record, and they're tied in that, too.
Yeah, I think you get down to, like, a fourth or fifth tiebreaker that is in Indy's favor.
It's like record against playoff opponents in the East or something.
Yeah. It's weird. So what do you think? Are you seem to be thinking that it's going to be the 5 seed for you guys.
I am, but not you're obviously more plugged in with your team, but it's turmoil versus schedule to me because the Celtics are really competing with themselves. You guys don't have the hardest slate of 8 games, besides the Pacers twice, of course. The Pacers play every single game they play the rest of the way is against an East playoff team, except for their final game in Atlanta. And the Hawks will play nobody. Their starting point guard will be someone I've never heard of before in that game. So if it does come down to that game, I believe they will win. But the Celtics have the schedule in their favor. However, like you said, because they play each other twice, it's like, what do the advantages really matter? Like, what does being a game up really matter? What does the schedule really matter? Like, if you just win both of those games, you're basically a lock to get it.
Right. And this is going to be a weird scenario because – okay, let's just assume that both teams are actually trying to get that fourth seed. There is something in me that tells me that the Celtics might not care about the fourth seed. Like, they're not going to reach into the magic hat and pull out a rabbit to say, here's our magic play. We're going to win these two games and then go into the playoffs. They're not going to tip any hands to maybe let the Pacers know what a seven-game series against Boston might be. Because, I mean, it's at this point really kind of just minutia. Like, what the hell can Brad Stevens do that would surprise? Like, you run this thing. We have this narrative like, oh, hold things back. You never know what they're going to pull off. But they do that, and like, what? What does that get you? 4 points? 6 points maybe? Like,
yeah.
Okay, that could be the difference in a game. But after that, this is the NBA. Coaches adjust. Like, oh, they're running a pick and roll with Kyrie and Al Horford? Who would have thunk that would happen? So there's going to be some, like, holding back and not tipping every hand. But at the same time, what Boston needs to do most is just play well and stop being stupid. Like, that's our motto right now for the Celtics. Just stop doing stupid things. Stop doing stupid things. Stop being, like, morons on the court and play actual good basketball. You'll be fine. So that's the focus. And if that means you got to do certain things to get to that point, and it's not necessarily going over the top to win one of these games, then I don't think Boston's going to go crazy. Be like, we have to win this game. Like,
oh, wow.
Or else it's all like, I don't think that they're in that spot necessarily. They'd like to, they're better at home than on the road, but I don't think that they're just dying, absolute dying to win these games.
I think the Pacers are.
Yeah.
I don't have it in front of me. I wish I did. Mark Monteith is one of the Pacers.com writers. He's fantastic. He wrote an article about the Pacers wanting home court really bad. And one of his big points was in series where the Pacers were the home team, they're 15-5. They're 20-5. And when they're the road team, they're 5-15. So it's like, historically, it's been a massive deal for this Pacers team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, like, when you're the road team more often than not, you're like the 8 seed or like the 6 seed. So like, whatever. Sometimes you're the worst team. Like, there's obviously a bunch of variables there, but it obviously matters a big deal. And when one team has their superstar and one team doesn't, you need every advantage you can get. Now, I understand from the Celtics side where they're like, maybe I'm at off base here because I don't cover the team, but I'm assuming the Celtics will think they're better and think they can win regardless if they get it or not. And that would be the reason that, not that a team will give more effort or not, but like, the Pacers might take it more seriously in terms of winning the head-to-head games.
Yeah, I think right now for the Celtics, they're looking to more get their matchups, and they're they're going big right now on the Horford and Baines pairing. They need to see the Horford and Baines pairing will work, and they need to get those guys more reps, more time on the court together, because both those guys have spent time injured. So, first of all, how do you see the Horford-Baines pairing working against the Pacers? Well, let's just start with that. I'll just throw that out there first.
Wow. I said wow out of excitement, mostly because – so this is mostly unrelated to the series, but a necessary concurrent. Like, if you know anything about the Pacers, they have two centers, Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis. And the consensus around the world is one of them will eventually be gone. Because you can't pay a bunch of two guys to do one position. So the fallback for people like me is, if they can work together, then you can keep both. And they're both very good. And that the likely scenario is, if you try to find a way to work in two guys who are very good and fit in your culture. This regular season, they've done a good enough job together. But it obviously doesn't matter if they suck together in the playoffs. But they can play more minutes together should the other team have two bigs on the floor. Lo and behold, should there be a scenario where it's Horford Baines for the Celtics, that makes me happy if that is the wrinkle, because that allows the Pacers to experiment with something that helps them in the future and something that's been moderately to decently successful for them. The offense can't really score with those two on the court, but the defense is unbelievable, like something like a 99 defensive rating when they share the court together. So head-to-head, like, Horford is far and away the best center of that group, and I don't know how, like, what the perfect answer is for him. I'm sure Turner can defend from the rim a little bit now, so they'll just try to match that up and hope they can get away with it. But when it's a lot of brute force like that, I think the Pacers match up decently well, just given their personnel and that Thad's such a scrapper when he's in the game. But if that's a wrinkle they haven't seen, it could throw them off, especially because, I mean, all four of their games this year are going to be vastly different. Like, Vic played in the first two, but one was a 30-point blowout, and, like, now it's a different Pacers team who has Wes Matthews, and the Celtics have their new guys. I guess that might just be Greg Monroe, but they're different. You know, it's hard for me to foresee, like, some wrinkle being the thing that makes me go, oh, that Celtics won because they were able to pull out Baines and Horford. Like, I'm given the Pacers personnel, I'm not, like, so scared of that being the thing that changes the series.
Right. So that's interesting that because we're actually both in the same boat. Like, the Celtics offense takes a little bit of a hit when it's Horford and Baines, because it does clog the lane a little bit. Baines has stepped out and he'll take a three occasionally, but he's not hitting it anywhere near any kind of percentage that makes him dangerous, but he'll take them. And, well, like we saw in the series last year against the Sixers, he'll pop a few in. He can get hot, and that could change the dynamic of a series. But mostly, it's a defensive thing. With Baines and Horford, it becomes a defensive slugfest, which means that we're in line for a mid-90s, 88,
let's go,
79 game.
Grizzlies, Jazz, October-level scores.
Oh, my God. But that's kind of really what we have to look forward to. I mean, when you look at the possibility of two teams, they will play on March 29th, and the last game of the series could be at the end of April, maybe beginning of May. So two teams playing each other nine times in that span, potentially, that's like, at some point there's going to be a fight. Like, right? Like, at some point.
Who's the most likely? This is good content. Who's the most likely guy? Smart. Never mind. I know the answer to that question.
Marcus Morris. One of the Markai is going to be involved.
I was going to say Markai. Is that a thing? Do you call it the Markai?
We've called it.
Oh, I love that. I wish we had two players with the same name. That's fantastic.
Dude, you could have get like another Sabonis. Could be like the Saboni.
The Saboni.
Or if you want to be mature, the Saboners, but nah.
Well, when Turner and Sabonis share the court, people call it Saboner. So we already have that on our side.
I'm not the only immature idiot.
Yeah, the fight. It'll be Thad Young and Wes Matthews versus the Morai. Love it.
I'm in on that. That's inevitably, like, but that's what happens. It's like when you hear about a fight between teammates towards the end of training camp. They're just sick of each other.
Yep.
And by the time you get to game five, let's say, and that would be the seventh game, like, everybody knows everything. There's no wrinkle that anybody could put out. No coach, no player. Like, everybody's put all their cards on the table. And this is why you talk about the playoffs, the best player wins generally, because everybody knows everything. Everybody knows the plays. Everybody knows the defense. It's just a matter of which guy is going to make the play and beat another guy to a certain spot and do that often enough to win a game. And you do that often enough and in as many games you can to win a series. Like, that's...
Well, thank God the Pacers have Kyrie Irving.
and that's why the Celtics fans are pretty, I would say, pretty happy about facing the Pacers. Like, but I think Boston would much rather face the Sixers.
Wow.
Yeah, oh yeah. Wow. Oh yeah. We...
What? Wait, what?
We in Boston, we love the Sixers. Oh, man, that's like easy money, that right there. Like, the Celtics and the Sixers, man, they are that's a whole thing. Oh, yeah. You didn't know about that?
Hey, I know you always beat them, but I didn't know.
That's why.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we love it. Like, if
that's totally fair.
if the Sixers somehow ascended to the top seed, there'd be conversations in Boston like, oh, should we tank to eight? Can we get there? Absolutely.
Oh, man.
But second on that list would be the Pacers, because you don't have Oladipo. Let's do this. Let's take a short break. I want to come back because I think I really want to get from your perspective what Celtics fans need to know about this team without Oladipo, because not a lot of Celtics fans follow the Pacers, and not closely enough to know that what's been happening without Victor Oladipo. So we're going to take a short break. When we do that, we'll come back and we'll talk about that. And remember, all you new listeners, to get the show every day, subscribe to the Locked On Celtics or Locked On Pacers on the new Himalaya podcast app. You know, it's the podcasts are exploding everywhere. It's too many to keep track of. So that what the Himalaya podcast app does is they personally curate the lists for you to accommodate your tastes. So, and they've got new features every day. So download the Himalaya app at your app store to subscribe to Locked On Celtics or Locked On Pacers. We're going to be right back with more. Victor Oladipo goes down with just a horrible injury. I mean, that torn quad tendon, God, I can't imagine an injury. Like, I mean, I shouldn't say that because Yusuf Nurkic just happened, but that torn quad tendon is a brutal, brutal injury. And we thought, well, there go the Pacers. That sucks because outside of being a conference rival, Tony, the Pacers are just an imminently likable team. Like, you can't not like the Pacers. You can't not like Victor Oladipo's story. All of those guys are just likable on that team, the whole situation. And maybe even more so now that they've banded together and continue to fight. And now I know you're in a very, very brutal stretch of the schedule. And this is a little bit of, you know, to use the old cliche, chickens coming home to roost a little bit. But it's been amazing. And I just kind of want to get your sense, because one thing that's been coming up recently is that this Pacers team is reminiscent of last year's Boston Celtics team that lost Gordon Hayward early and then lost Kyrie Irving towards the end of the season and still made it to the conference finals and just ever so close to the NBA finals. So just for a Celtics fan who might not have been watching or not watching closely enough, how has Indy still maintained themselves? They're still the fourth seed in the East after all of this.
A team effort is the cliche answer because, like, you don't have a star anymore. Everybody has to step up. So I'm not going to fall in the lazy answer. I'm actually going to say they found a guy to be a lead guy and a star, and that is Bojan Bogdanović. And I know it sounds completely absurd that I just said Bojan Bogdanović is a star if you're not keeping up with the Pacers, but he's averaging like 22 points per game since Vic went out. He's up to 18 per game on the year. His scoring output every night is basically what CJ McCollum or LaMarcus Aldridge put up, which when you hear it that way, you're like, oh damn, like this guy can actually score. And he's super efficient, 43% from three, really good from the line. He can get there now. He's got this off the dribble game that no one knew existed until this year. He's like, when the set dies and now you're running a pick and roll or whatever, like obviously the Celtics are like, oh, Tatum, Kyrie, whatever. They have a million guys. So it's not like as big of a deal. For the Pacers, they have no one off the dribble anymore with Vic out, except now all of a sudden it's like, look, we have Bojan Bogdanović to bail us out in these situations. And that's been just enough, given that their defense is the second best in the NBA still, to get by. And that's been a huge reason why they've been able to be so good. Now I will fall back on the cliche, is it has been a team effort where Miles Turner is one of the best defensive players in the NBA this season. Garen Collison is one of the steadiest role players ever. Thaddeus Young might be the most underrated basketball player in the NBA. I mean, some of this is because he's on the Pacers and no one really pays attention to this team, but some of it is also that he's incredible. And their bench is one of the best in the league. Now, that matters less in the playoffs, but, you know, when we're looking at the success they have now and how they fell down to the fourth seed, it's really that's been a huge part of it. So they just have all these pieces that have blended well enough for them to be this team that it's the fourth seed.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. And this defense, like, between Turner and between Young and these guys, I mean, it's a real, like, that's where you hang your hat. Like, this is a bruising, active hands moving around defense. Like they're really, when you watch a Pacers game, I mean, you're seeing these guys, the communication, which is, it runs counter to what Boston has been doing lately in their struggles, where a connected communicating defense, like the Pacers have had, anchored by, Turner, who is still a young guy. Like he's,
yeah,
like that's the thing that I don't think a lot of people realize. For some reason, it feels like Miles Turner is like in his eighth year in the NBA. I don't know why I feel that way, but this is his fourth season. He's a 22-year-old kid, and he's starting to figure this out. I mean, I'll ask you this. It's special, it feels like, to have this unit do all of these things. But when you look at this cap sheet.
Oh, God.
Bogdanovich, these guys are a lot of these guys. Collison, they're all expiring. Like this is you have a ton of cap space, but you don't. This team is pretty special. It feels like, and it feels you might want to run it back. And how do you balance that as a Pacers guy? Like how do you balance that? Like. This is a special team that's been doing a lot, and we're going to get, you know, Victor Oladipo back. And then what happens, you know, when Victor Oladipo comes back, what does he come back to?
Completely fake cap space is what I'm calling it. I have a comparison for you. The Wizards went into the summer of 2016 with air quotes that you can't see a ton of cap space, but that's because their entire roster was a free agent, right? So what they actually had was a lot of needs. So they need to spend money on a lot of players. And instead, they spent a lot of money on Jan Mahinmi and Andrew Nicholson.
Oh, my God.
And you know, they got some okay, like, helpful dudes along the way, but that was the big chunk of their money. You know, they tried to get Al Horford, which, like, even then they're left with, like, Wabiel, Porter Horford, and nobody, which is a good team, to be fair. It's just it's a lot of money sinking in one guy. So the Pacers will have, like, they'll be staring at like Oladipo, Turner, McDermott, Sabonis, Aaron Holiday, and a bunch of space. So it's like, yeah, you have cap space, but you have to sign like three forwards and another guard and maybe a third. It's like, it's not real cap space, if that makes sense.
Right.
So, but at the same time, like I'm a human and I love hope. Like Daryl Morey talking to Zach Lowe said it best, like the NBA sells hope. So you look ahead and you saw this space and you're like, boy, oing, like, oh my God, we can get Kemba Walker. We can get Jimmy Butler. Like, we can't. We're Indiana. But we can think like that, and that is the next step for a team that is, like, knocking on the door of being a conference finalist team. You're right there. So it's hard not to think that way at the same time. So it's really a hard, like, meeting of my own minds with the cap space this summer, and I have no idea what their plan's going to be because it could just be like, let's take Mike Conley into space or something like that. But they have a lot of ways they can improve. It's just – it's very odd because, like you said, so many guys are coming off the books, and like with Bojan and Thad specifically, like you almost have to keep them. There's such an important reason why you're good now.
Yeah, I don't want to bog this down into too much salary cap talk because you're.
No, I'm glad you brought up our summer because our summer is going to look like nothing in the entertainment department compared to your summer.
Yeah, I'm trying to distract everybody from our summer.
Although we'll take all your draft picks if you want to just focus on the trade.
It's going to be an interesting summer. It could be for Boston. It could just simply be Kyrie comes back. They trade for Anthony Davis and they roll out a team that's AD, Kyrie, Hayward after a summer and the improvement that he's shown. Horford, who would still be around. And
you think he opts in? That's an interesting thing for me.
What's that?
You think he opts in? That's an interesting debate for me.
No, I don't think my expectation with Al Horford is that he opts out and re-signs a 5-year deal that starts in a team-friendly range of.
I agree. That's 17, exactly what I think he does.
Yeah, I think something like 17, 18 million to start, and then this way he gets because he might be able to get like a 2-year deal, a 3-year
deal, 2 for 50 or something.
Like that, where he gets $50 million, but he won't get what he gets in year 4 and 5
right,
for the Celtics.
Right.
And it's at this age, that stability being in the same city, even if he gets traded towards the end, like he could just, you know, whatever, retire and whatever, you know, that's my expectation with Horford.
Can I do outsider perspective Celtics stuff?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I have two things that I like, everybody thinks about the Celtics all the time because you have Kyrie Irving and cap space and possibly Anthony Davis, like not actually cap space. You could have cap space. Anyway, there's like a lot of paths the Celtics could take to their team next year.
Yeah.
So one of them to me is a Danny Ainge thing. And to me, it's like, this whole time, transparent or not, it's felt like the plan is like, we're going to get Anthony Davis one day. Like, we just are. So imagine you get to the point and then you don't send everything to get him. Mm-hmm. And then you don't get him. Like, I feel like that's going to look bad for him. Like, if it comes out at all that, like, oh, they didn't offer Tatum, or they didn't offer the one thing that would have pushed him over the edge. Mm-hmm. Like, if you sold to fans, like, oh, we're going to get AD someday, and then you don't, I don't know if that's going to matter, because the price could end up just being so high. But to me, it's like there could be a bridge that has to be crossed there.
I don't think that a lot of Celtics fans would care. Like, I don't think
– Oh, that's fair.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of Celtics fans right now clamoring for, like, oh my God, things are going to be better when AD comes around. Like, I literally – and I understand, like, I live in a little bit of a bubble, but even in my little Twitter bubble, not a single fan has said, like, oh, whatever, as soon as AD comes, everything's going to be fixed. Like, I haven't gotten any of that.
Right.
I think people would be happy to bring back Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And I think, really honestly, if there's any one roster move that anybody's looking forward to, it's goodbye Terry Rozier. Goodbye Marcus Morris.
All these Pacers people want Rozier from that one playoff series. And I'm like, guys, like, this guy sucks.
You can have him.
Please, he is terrible. He is – sorry.
It's going to be interesting. I will just give him a
little – It's over, right? It's the Magic or Suns are going to give him 4 for $60, and it's going to be hilarious.
It might be. It very well might be. But I will say that I'm going to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Just
ooh.
Play, okay?
Ooh. Okay.
Okay, now he is not an efficient player. He has historically not shot well, but he has historically shot better as games progressed. Like, when he gets a good amount of playing time, generally it's like slow first quarter, better end to the half, maybe a little slow start to the third quarter, better fourth quarter. And above all else, he is still 25, and he could improve, but I don't think he's going to be the guy that can make a huge difference. If he gets his money and he feels comfortable in a role, and he's a starter that gets his 30 minutes, then maybe he can settle down with some of the things that he does that drives Boston crazy. That's me just being like positive and optimistic about him. That might just be who he is. And some of those pull-up shots that he takes can just be, I'll tell you what, there have been a number of times, and like that Charlotte game where the Celtics collapsed, he was a big culprit in the, we're done with the ball movement because this game is decided. As soon as the game is decided for the Boston Celtics, there are a few guys that are like, oh, great, it's decided. All right, time to pad my stats. And Rozier is definitely one of them. And I think that has to do with his contract. And I just wonder if, like, in the playoffs, it didn't feel like that. So I just wonder if that contract is out of the way, if he can get back to just running an offense or whatever. I will also say this about Rozier. Not really a point guard. He's an off guard. He's not really the guy you want handling the ball all the time. He doesn't see the floor particularly well. He's maybe the worst.
Instead of handling the ball, how about sitting on the bench?
Yeah, that's generally a place where Celtics fans would love to see him. He might be the worst player in the NBA at throwing alley-oops. Like, there
wow.
is – no one that throws the first alley-oops. Oh, my God. There was an alley-oop he tried to throw. God, where was it? It was at home recently. The ball went like about 2 feet from the top of the backboard. It hit on the side. It was bad. You gotta
wow.
look it up. I don't know. I don't know if there's a way to look it up. All right, you had another point. You had 2 points.
Guys, during this break, let me tell you about a sweet product called Wyze. Wyze makes cameras, and they are just the bomb diggity. They're indoor cameras that literally do it all. They're packed with premium features that allows you to see everything, anywhere, for only $20. They have a night vision feature, which is amazing. 1080p Full HD, two-way audio. Everything is fantastic. Wyze's mission is to bring amazing smart home products accessible to everyone. That's why they have a $20 camera that can do anything, and it connects to your home anytime. You can check in on your home with their live stream app, One of those things that lets you, you know, put up a camera in your house. It's awesome. You can connect with Life as It Unfolds, see your pets, stuff like that. You can live stream with it. It has 8x Zoom for those two. They have this free rolling 14-day cloud storage, which is pretty awesome for uploading things. So it's pretty fantastic. Want more too? If you are curious, you can get more too for just $10 more. Wise Cam Pan can give you 360 degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Which is pretty crazy. These cameras are absolutely the best. And we have our own URL for you to go to get a nice, sweet deal on these. Go to wise.com/locked. That's wise.com/locked to get your own camera that you can literally see everything on. That's where you can get that $20 deal to get it. That's wise, wyze.com/locked to get the guaranteed lowest price on one of these cameras. Go check it out, guys.
Oh, yeah. I did. And then I thought of a third, but I don't want to do three. But yeah, my other one's...
Comedy comes in threes, so...
That's true. My other one is a Tatum one. I just gave it away. I think I would bluff with him if I'm Ainge. I think I would say, yeah, you know what? Yeah, we'll offer Tatum, and the second it happens, I'm not doing it. Oh, I'm just really? Not doing it. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like you could still have the best offer if you're the Celtics team without him. So I say nah, never mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal would
be, unless the Knicks get the number one pick, no one else can beat the offer.
I'm all in on Zion to Atlanta. Like,
me too. Oh my god, I would buy some tickets amazing, from here.
That would be amazing to watch. First of all, second of all, Atlanta's not trading any of those guys. They don't give a shit. That's a perfect place for him to go.
They would win four titles. Maybe not, but I would love that team.
It would be, I mean, between him, Trey, Herter, Collins, I mean, that team is just like fun, young, exciting, like just too young and stupid to know anything. They'd be might be the worst defensive team in the league. They'd have to win games like 150 to 145, and that would be just amazing to watch.
They could trade every other thing for Rudy Gobert, and then then they'd fix it.
That would be amazing. But that would also take Zion out of the running for a trade. So
that's true.
I would love, like, in the ultimate best case scenario. And okay, let me just preface this by saying that certain things have transpired that are in basketball senses beneficial to the Boston Celtics, but I do not. I wish they didn't happen. For example, Brandon Ingram had a blood clot. I do not wish that Brandon Ingram had a blood clot. I wish that Brandon Ingram was healthy. Now, though, in the reality, like in the NBA reality, if you just say, like, I don't want this to be the case. However, New Orleans is looking at the Lakers offer, and Brandon Ingram is the centerpiece of that offer. And you have to have pause because he may clear medical records and he may be healthy, and you have that fear of, but if he gets another blood clot, then he becomes Chris Bosh.
Yep.
And you lose the centerpiece of your trade. So that significantly diminishes the trade value. So,
and thankfully Lonzo and Hart are also very healthy.
Yes. Right. Exactly. But so this is the situation. So it's not that I'm reveling in it. I don't want that. I want everybody to be healthy. I want everybody to be, but the reality is what it is. And now Boston is in a situation to say, well, do you really want Brandon Ingram? We've got Jaylen Brown, who's been playing amazing. Like, and Jason Tatum, who you pick one, we'll keep the other, but you can't have both anymore. Like, that's where Boston is. And I think Boston fans will kind of be like, the way Jaylen Brown has been playing lately, I think Boston fans would be like, yeah, we'll keep, if we can keep one of those guys and get Anthony Davis, holy shit. Like, holy shit. Like, that's then, you know, Warriors East. Like, that.
Then I would convince, I would try to convince Kevin Pritchard to pack it up for a year. You're not winning these next year. Just pack it up.
Pack it up. And then what? What do you do, though?
I hope you guys don't retain AD. I don't know. Jaylen Brown demands the max, or he walks. I don't know, something.
Yeah, well, that's gonna be weird. Okay. So let's wrap this up. I feel like we're gonna be talking a lot over the next month.
Off the rails.
the Pacers now come into Boston, and it's a Friday night, and you are struggling a bit. Losers of 4 or 5.
Yes.
And you gave up against Oklahoma City just a little 24-0 run. This now in Boston is the front end of a back-to-back. How do you see this going for your guys?
I think, you know, the Pacers are good at, like, when motivated, they will work their ass off the whole game. And Nate McMillan can walk into the locker room 5 minutes before they run out on the court and say, the winner of this game walks out of the building, the 4 seed. You know, that's the whole speech. You're fired up for the whole game. You've been playing like shit, like you just judiciously said. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
There's no reason for them not to be as fired up as they can possibly be. And given that, I think they can compete the entire game now. I think Celtics, given that they have the best player on the court, are the better team. However, that has not translated well for them recently. So I think the Pacers have as good a chance as anyone would in this scenario. However, I don't know, like, I'm an outsider. I've said that many times to you, but I just feel like you can't tell me if you're a guy who, like, if we win, we jump this team in the standings. Like, you're not going to have, like, a little bit more edge. Like, I feel like the Celtics are also going to be, like, a click up. And that makes it harder for the Pacers to overcome.
It is a little bit different for the Celtics at home versus on the road. And
like, that is true.
The Celtics have been pretty good at home. We're both very similar. Like, both very good at home. Neither of us very good on the road. Both struggling at the same time. But both weirdly, like, still have a lot of positive things to kind of hang our hats on. So I could very much see each team splitting this and getting down to the weird tiebreaker. And then it just comes down to, like, who finishes strong. Like, just because they split doesn't mean, like, they're going to end up the season tied. One team could still end up ahead of the other. But I wouldn't be surprised at a split, but that.
I got one here. Ooh. Actually,
what?
Actually, yeah. John, if they split and end tied, because they both have every single game the rest of the way against Eastern Conference opponents, the Celtics would have a better record against the East in that scenario because they'd have to win one more game than the Pacers the rest of the way to be tied.
Oh.
So if they split and finish with the same record, the Celtics get the tiebreaker.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Who did I see? Adam Kaufman, right? Is that a Celtics guy that exists?
He is.
Is that a name?
Yeah, that's a guy that's in Boston.
I think that's who it was who tweeted that, and I looked into it, and I said, yes, that is accurate. If they split and if they split and finish with the same record, the Celtics get it.
Interesting. Okay. I guess I must have misread something, but hey, all right. Well, then if the Celtics win, then all they got to do is end up the season
tied. Yeah,
I don't like that. You know why I don't like that? Because I don't like that because it gives Boston an out. And to me the Celtics' biggest nemesis has been when things are going good. Like the Celtics' pattern has been that once things are going great, that's when they screw up the most. Like that's why they blow these big leads. That's why their worst moments have been the blown lead against the Clippers, the blown lead against the Lakers, the blown lead against Charlotte. When they get up big, they say, oh, right, time for me to cash in and get my numbers. And so, again, back to the Charlotte game. They were up 18. Jaylen Brown's cooking. A couple of guys take, you know, ill-advised pull-up jumpers. And then what they don't do is after they take a couple of pull-up jumpers and give up, you know, easy baskets in transition, because after you miss pull-up jumpers, these guys hang their heads. What they don't do is say, okay, refocus, let's get back to doing the things that we did. They just continue to cascade down this weird, bad trend. So for them, if they know, like, I hope no Boston anybody is with the team is listening to this podcast, because once they know that all they have to do is win one game, then they'll lose this game because they're like, ah, we got another one. Like, that's the Boston way this season. They'd be like, eh, who cares? We just got to win the other one. And then they'll go into the other one and be like, oh, God, then it's on the road, and the Pacers are going to be amped up at home, and they'll lose that one too. Like that's the Boston way. So Boston needs to win this game. That's all you need to know, Celtics.
Yes. Headline. Someone get the Boston Globe on the line. Boston needs to win this game.
All right. That's
No. I'm closing this. I need you to give me your exact score prediction.
Oh, for the Friday night game?
Yes.
Okay, my exact score prediction is actually my I'm actually going to say 110. Boston is going to win, and it's going to be like 110 to 91. Like it's
wow, they're going to kill them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. They did kill them last time in Boston. That was brutal.
Yeah. I think brutal. Boston comes out like after everything, there's a this just feels like the type of game where they've lost a bunch, and I know that they won their last game, but like that last game was they beat Cleveland and they needed like a late run to beat Cleveland, so that almost doesn't count. So I would say that this feels like the type of just the way the season has gone, the response game at home, and they really, really, really feed off that home crowd. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a pull away in the fourth quarter, like going into the fourth quarter, it's a 6-point game. And then all of a sudden, you know, somebody like Rozier comes out of nowhere and hits like three straight threes and the crowd's going nuts and it's over.
Wow.
Yeah. It's going to be
if like Rozier hits three straight threes, this game is over.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Like he can do it, but like that I feel like something weird's going to happen like that. And that's what's going to be what decides it.
No. That's a good answer. Sometimes I've just wanted to like Price is Right somebody and just be like, well, I think it's going to be 110 to 92, idiot. But I've never done it. I think it's going to be closer than that, but I don't know. I'll go like 105, 100 Celtics. Okay. I think the home team wins both the games the rest of the way, though.
That would not surprise me at all. That's very on brand for both teams.
Chaos, baby. My favorite.
All right. Now I get to wrap up the show.
Yes. Sorry.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope all of you new listeners are willing to subscribe. And, hey, I would say for all the Celtics listeners, subscribe to the Locked On Pacers. We're going to get to know these guys very intimately over the next month, so go ahead and subscribe. Remember, you can subscribe to this show or the Locked On Pacers show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play Locked On Celtics or Locked On Pacers. It'd be great to listen to after all of these games, leading into all of these games. It's always good to get the other team's perspective. Tony, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it. It was a good time.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.